He did not himself know why he wept.
Yeah, like, he's a man.
Why is woman's water coming out of my eyes?
Welcome to The Others Grimm. This is a comedy podcast where we read a fairy tale or folklore or myth or something along those lines and make fun of it because they're all batshit crazy. I am Holly, one of your hosts, and I'm joined by...
Rob?
Sorry, I thought you were going first, Greg.
I'm not going first.
We were having a standoff there for a second.
Yeah. I didn't know about the standoff. That's why I came in late. My name is Greg.
Welcome. Our story we're reading today is we are switching it up. We've previously, the first 12 recordings we did, some of which you may have heard, some of which we will never release, were from Grimm's fairy tales.
We're not just about Grimm's fairy tales. We just kind of only had the one book for a while.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have always said fairy tales, folklore, and mythology, and I don't know that the Grimm's boys ever... covered any Greek mythology, so
yeah. Finally, we've scoured the world. We've taken some expeditions to far off lands to look for all sorts of. We've done a lot of research, is what I'm saying. We've spent a couple years in Tibet.
Seven years. We met Brad Pitt there.
Brad Pitt was there. Nice guy.
Really nice guy. All right. So tonight it's going to be from H.C. Anderson, as it's written on the cover. Thought he was a lot, maybe thought he was a little cooler than he was, because we know him as
Harry
Hans.
Harry Charles Anderson.
Yeah, Herbert Christina Anderson.
Yes.
Hibby Chippy Anderson.
Yep, all of these.
Herbie Can Hawk Christensen.
Ham Cobb Anderson.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is from Hans Christian Andersen.
Horn Cube. Sorry, I'm keeping going.
No, you can keep going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just in the background while you're reading.
The entire time. Please do that. All right. From Hans Christian Andersen, we're reading The Goblin and the Huckster.
Ooh, what's a huckster?
Exactly. When I first read this, thought a huckster was some sort of shyster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It sounds like
shyster. Yeah.
It's just... like a merchant. It's just like a tinker.
All right.
You know, like they just sell wares. They huck things.
Like a general store is what you're saying.
Basically.
Okay.
You'll learn to see he basically owns a general store, but he's a huckster. Really sounds more nefarious than it is.
Yeah. And I know what is this a standard goblin? Like you would think like a normal, if you think goblin, we're talking about this.
Well, wait, what do you think of when you think of goblin?
Yeah, tiny, green, mischievous.
I think you're pigeonholing goblins a little bit, stereotyping goblins. What's a standard white guy?
I mean, they like mayonnaise.
It's true, yeah.
Sports.
Mm-hmm. Fantasy sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like trolls, riddles, right?
Trolls, yeah.
Answer
riddles,
my
bridge.
Riddles three.
Yeah.
Trolls, Riddle Bridge.
Also, but eating goats and sheep is a thing.
But goblins, what's their thing?
They're like gnome adjacent, right? They're like ugly little gnomes.
They're green.
Yeah, they both make shoes.
Yeah.
So gnomes and
Wait,
goblins also
goblins
sorry.
Make shoes?
There's goblin cobblers?
Yeah, gobblers.
What do those shoes look like? Are they good?
Well, they're small.
No, they're
small
for they're very uncomfortable.
You oh, yeah.
Shoes.
For sure. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, their system of sizing is like European versus American. So.
Mm.
All right. The Goblin and the Huckster. There was once a regular student.
Ah, yes. A regular student. Go ahead. We always try not to just interrupt right away.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's so hard.
There's just a regular guy.
There's a regular guy. Well, you'd also think that this sentence will be followed up like, there's a regular student and a very smart and beautiful student.
Sure.
You'd be wrong, Greg.
Oh, okay.
What should you bet?
Ah, just extra words.
Just extra words.
Mm. So handsome, chicky-chicky, bang-bang Christensen was getting paid by the word here, is what you're saying.
Yes.
He had to fill out some extra.
He had to fill a page, yeah. Okay. It was the opposite of when you submit something to the newspaper. All right. So... There was once a regular student who lived in a garret and had no possessions. And there was also a regular huckster to whom the house belonged and who occupied the ground floor. A goblin lived with the huckster.
Okay. Sorry. We need a pause just so we can all imagine this.
So we got a student living... Actually, I should have looked up what the garret is. I guess I assumed it was like the attic.
Yeah, like the attic, but there's absolutely nothing in it.
And he had no possessions.
He had no possessions.
He's a regular student. He's not a rich student.
He didn't have a book or like a bed or anything. Yeah. He just sat in a room. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. And then downstairs, he would have to, like, he didn't even have a broom to bang on the floor to be like, quiet down there, goblin. Nope. As the goblin did whatever goblins do, like make shoes really loud.
Well, I'm assuming he was a regular goblin.
Yeah, for sure.
One can assume. They're all regular folk here.
And I like how they, like, buried the lead of, like, there is a regular student living in the attic, and then a huckster, also a goblin.
I know, right? Could we start with the goblin next time?
Yeah. Isn't goblin in the title?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so is huckster.
Start with goblin.
Well, I mean, if the goblin is in the title, halfway through speaking that sentence, I was about to say, I contradicted myself in my head. I was thinking... Well, if there's a goblin in the title, of course we know there's going to be a goblin in the story. But as we've read so many stories where the golden goose doesn't show up until about 80% of the way through the story, then really is not the main part of the story. The dumbling was the main character in the story.
Yeah, that goose was like an afterthought.
Yeah, frankly. Basically. All right. So, a goblin lived with the huckster because at Christmas he always had a large dish full of jam with a great piece of butter in the middle. That's why the goblin lived with the huckster, because once a year,
he
had jam with butter in it.
I mean, I get it.
Goblins have low standards. You know what, goblins? You need to believe in yourselves a little bit more. You need to have a little more, just a little more discerning.
Sure. Fun fact about goblins, they make shoes and then immediately eat them.
Well, with a bit of jam and a great piece of butter.
No, they don't know how to make jam or butter.
Oh, that's right. That's why he's living with the huckster.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, the huckster could afford this, and therefore...
On a huckster's budget.
On a huckster's budget?
Oh, yeah. Wow. He's huckstin' and shuckstin' like crazy out there.
They said he was a regular huckster, but I don't believe it. He's ballin'.
He's a high roller, for sure. Yeah. What do you think he hucksts?
Huckster.
Yeah.
Well...
Hula hoops.
Pool toys?
Yeah.
Oh, like pool noodles?
Mm-hmm.
He invented the paddle with the ball and a string stuck to it. Yeah.
Paddle ball.
Yeah, paddle ball. He invented paddle ball.
Along with cup ball and hoop stick.
Yeah, he's got a whole, like, ball string empire going. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Paddle ball was a fun one.
It's still fun. Timeless.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the huckster could afford this, and therefore the goblin remained with the huckster, which was very cunning of him. I don't think it's that cunning. What's the huckster getting out of this for his goblin living there?
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out.
Let's read some more.
Okay.
One evening, the student came into the shop through the back door to buy candles and cheese for himself. He had no one to send, and therefore he came himself.
Does he cook the cheese with the candles?
Never had a... Candle cheese poutine?
He just, like, melts it onto his finger and licks it before it burns his skin.
It's like old-timey fondue, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, aren't candles like... Oh, wait, that's soap. I was going to say, aren't candles made of fat? No, they're always made of some sort of wax. There's no fat mixed in with them. There's no animal byproducts mixed in with candles, even in old-timey days.
Also, we're finding out that the house is a store as well. Is that true?
That's the huckster. That's the
he lives in the shop.
Yeah, we found that out. The shop is at the bottom.
Not paying
the
huckster, attention. Sorry.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Every time.
That's hard to follow.
We've only read like a paragraph.
I don't know.
One regular paragraph. Too.
I'm stuck on this goblin. I need to know the deets on their relationship.
You're gonna have to let me get on.
All right.
But
go ahead.
Yeah, the shop, the huckster's shop, is on the bottom floor. Presumably, the huckster lives on the second floor. Somewhere the goblin lives, and like above in the garret, which again I think is an attic, is that's where the regular student lives. All right. So he comes down to buy candles and cheese for himself to make himself a delicious candle fondue. He had no one to send, and therefore he came himself. He obtained what he wished, and then the huckster and his wife nodded good evening to him.
There's a wife.
There's a wife.
Just pointing it out.
There's a wife. Got welcome. It. Welcome. And she was a woman who could do more than merely nod. Wink, wink.
Okay.
Wow.
Four she usually had plenty to say for herself.
Okay, no, this
for
is...
For herself, not this is, to say.
Okay, for fairy tales, this is actually progressive.
Oh, yeah.
Frankly. The fact that it's saying, she's more than just a wife, by the way.
She's a gabber.
She can talk about stuff.
But she can talk, or she has more to say for herself.
I think that might just be, you can make fun of it, absolutely, but that's definitely just like the phrasing. That's just old-timey phrasing. For she had usually plenty to say for herself. Just like in general, she could talk is what that phrase means.
I see it as like she is a woman of the world or something, or has a personality or something like that. She has something to say for herself.
Mm.
Not just like she's a chatty Cathy. Like she's got experience. She's talking from a perspective.
Oh, you know what? I think having read actually the story ahead of time, I hadn't picked up on that. I think that's a good... I think Greg's onto something.
Maybe.
Mm.
Also, no name. Just go ahead.
No, just wife.
Just wife.
Yeah. Wife, hooker. Wife, daughter, hooker.
Ah.
That's it. That's all
triumvirate.
That's all you can be as a woman in an alter ego. The student nodded in return as he turned to leave, and then suddenly stopped and began reading the piece of paper in which the cheese was wrapped. It was a leaf torn out of an old book, a book that ought not to have been torn up, for it was full of poetry. "Yonder lies some more of the same sort," said the huckster. "I gave an old woman a few coffee berries for it. You shall have the rest of it for sixpence, if you will."
He's upselling him.
This seems like a huckster's real definition.
It's a
real haggling type of shopkeeper.
He's almost like a drug dealer. Gave him one page for free, but the rest, sixpence, baby.
You want to know how this poem ends? You gotta buy the rest of the cheese.
Exactly. He literally used it as like newspaper wrapping for the cheese. But then now that the boy is the regular student is interested, he's like, well, now it's sixpence.
It's definitely erotic poetry.
Oh, let's hope so.
You know, like that's how he would do it. The huckster. That's the way a huckster would do it.
I mean, that's a good way to sell any sort of eroticism, I'd say. Because one doesn't really need a whole story.
No. You need a tiny section of a story. That's it.
Yeah, a little bit.
And then when you're done, you're like, what the fuck is this? Why did I have this in the first place?
Why was this interesting to me at all? Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone back to porn or like, I've done that just out of curiosity, like finished and then gone back to the porn and been like, I want to see how it ends for some reason. And I'm like, why? I'm not interested in this.
You're like not ashamed of yourself. You're ashamed of the world that created it in the first place. You're like, what the fuck?
Well, sometimes.
Yeah, you're just disappointed in the character arcs.
Yeah, honestly. Exactly. You're like, this is flat.
I feel like there is some part of me that's disappointed in myself. Not for like shame over masturbation or anything of that. No, all for that. It's all good. But shame and low standards and like story structure.
Right. Like you go back and you're like, this is just a stick figure. How did I come to this?
But literally 20 seconds ago, it's like, oh yeah, flipping the pages.
yeah, exactly.
Are you masturbating to like a flip book of a stick figure?
Over and over,
Look how fast they fuck. Oh, it really gets me going.
Wait, if I do it this way, it's in reverse. Wow, they go back and forth.
How are you even doing that with two hands?
Sex is in the mind, baby.
That's right. Jedi.
All right. Indeed I will. So he offers the rest of the porn to him for sixpence. The student says, "Indeed I will," said the student. "Give me the book instead of the cheese. I can eat my bread and butter without cheese. It would be a sin to tear up a book like this. You are a clever man and a practical man, but you understand no more about poetry than that cask yonder."
Okay, hold on. He already sold the thing. And now he's like, I'm just going to rip on you.
This is like, the student who said this.
Oh, I thought that was the huckster who was like, you understand nothing.
No. The student says, indeed, I will. Give me the book instead of the cheese. I'll eat my bread and butter without cheese. It'd be a sin to tear up the book like this. And then the student says to the huckster, you are a clever man and a practical man, but you understand no more about poetry than that cask yonder.
Okay, cool. Don't like this guy. Go ahead.
This was very rude speech.
I agree.
Especially against the cask.
Burn.
Wow. Burn on that cask.
Wow. Whoa. Burn on the huckster.
I think especially against that poor cask. What the fucking cask do
to
you?
Yeah, what did the cask do? It's just full of wine, right?
Stop shitting on the cask.
This is a great story. I love it. But the huckster and the student both laughed, for it was only said in fun. So everyone's like... Yeah, everyone's on the up and up here.
Okay, but
so
one laughed a little more than the, like the student laughed pretty hard.
And the huckster's like, hey, yeah, it's funny. Yeah,
no,
yeah,
good joke.
It's good joke. Okay, give me your sixpence.
Well, they are roommates, so they like run into each other all the time, like when they use the bathroom and stuff. So like they got rapport.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. But the goblin felt very angry that any man should venture to say such things to a huckster who was a householder and sold the best butter. Mostly what we've learned about goblins is they're really focused on butter.
Well, we haven't heard much about this goblin yet. He hasn't popped up in the story, really.
This is his first time that he's coming in.
Wow. But I assume that he busts in like a sitcom where everybody starts like laughing and clapping when he does. So
the goblin is Kramer.
Oh, absolutely. That's how I imagine it.
Stumbles in through the door.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
As soon as it was night and the shop closed... and everyone in bed except the student, the goblin stepped softly into the bedroom where the huckster's wife slept and took away her tongue, which, of course, she did not then want. Because she's asleep. She doesn't need it.
She didn't want it?
Want is need in this context.
Okay. All right. I mean, is this the first time he's done it, or does he do it every night? All right. Mm-hmm. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty... extreme actions by the goblin, but okay.
This was the first time, because the first time I read this too, I'm like, that's violent. And then I sort of, as I was thinking about it, I'm like, well, again, we don't quite know what goblins do. Do goblins have magic where he can just like,
sure,
I'm just gonna take your hand for a second, and then I'm gonna return it to you.
I got your nose.
Got your nose. Yeah. Oh my god, you literally got my nose.
Yeah,
but it doesn't hurt or anything. Like the wife doesn't wake up.
Sure.
You would wake up if someone came in and like cut your tongue out.
Why the wife? Why not the huckster?
Because the wife was we talked about how she could say more. She could say a lot.
Her tongue is probably the strongest in the house.
She's got a waggling tongue.
She's got a lot to say.
Okay, so whatever object in the room the goblin placed this tongue upon immediately received voice and speech.
So he was just like rubbing the tongue on things?
Yeah, he's just taking her tongue and like putting it on stuff. And was able to express its thoughts and feelings as readily as the lady herself could do.
All right, this is great.
So he steals her tongue and just makes inanimate objects start talking.
Yeah. It could only be used on one object at a time.
Well, sure. Yeah, you gotta have limitations.
Yeah.
Come on.
Which was a good thing, as a number speaking at once would have caused great confusion.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. 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 The goblin laid the tongue upon the cask, in which lay a quantity of old newspapers. Oh, I missed that part the first time. Interesting. Okay. Is it really true, he asked, that you do not know what poetry is? Of course I know, replied the cask. Poetry is something that always stands in the corner of a newspaper and is sometimes cut out, and I may venture to affirm that I have more of it in me than the student has, and I am only a poor tub of the hucksters.
I love this call out here, where earlier they were like, yeah, you don't know about poetry. The cask totally knows about poetry, and later you're like, the cask is like, yeah, I'm a fucking, I know about poetry.
actually really do know.
I'm really into poetry, actually.
I was a Russian poetry lit major. Then the goblin placed the tongue on the coffee mill, and how it did go, to be sure.
Well, it's full of coffee.
The coffee mill's like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, this is great. Hey, I love I can talk now. This is really fantastic. You guys want to talk? And then he just kind of cuts it off because he's like, oh, that's
too much. You want to hear about Poe? You want to hear Walden? You want to hear...
I'm bringing up poetry, too.
philosophy? You want to hear some philosophy? I can talk about Plato. Then he put the tongue, on the butter tub and the cash box, and they all expressed the same opinion as the waste paper tub. and a majority must always be respected.
Oh, okay, but what was the waste paper?
We didn't. Tubs? We don't know. We don't know. All we know. Yeah. All we can infer is that butter tubs, cash boxes, and waste paper tubs are basically the same.
They have the
person.
Same opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They're all like the same political party, basically.
What did the waste paper tub say initially?
I don't know. What does it say?
No, I'm asking you.
I mean, honestly, they were just like, stop shoving shit inside of me, please.
And apparently,
right? Because it's all dirty. Yeah. It's all dirty shit, right? Waste paper, garbage.
Yeah.
Cash tub, dirty coins and money. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Butter tub usually gets left out so long that the butter gets rancid.
Yeah. Gross.
Gross.
Honestly, we're supposed to believe, like, I feel like this is one of those stories with an unreliable narrator, because you were supposed to believe that the goblin who only stays in the house because he one time a year can eat butter leaves the butter dish alone, and it's just like, let me role play a situation in which I have someone else's tongue that I rub on the butter just to hear its thoughts so that I can prime myself for that one sweet day that I get to eat the butter.
Why would he just eat the butter?
No, this is a super horny house, we can tell. And like, no, he's licking that butter himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm forgetting about the fact that he's just like laying someone else's tongue on all the things in the house is akin to the wife just moving around the store, licking everything.
Yeah, exactly. She obviously like definitely wakes up every morning and is like, what the fuck? My tongue.
So much dust.
Yeah.
All right. Now I shall go and tell the student, said the goblin. And with these words, he went quietly up. Oh, he's going to go tell the student that he's like, you don't know what fucking casks know. All right. So look, stop spreading your shit.
Yeah. Look, I've been talking to the cask and the trash bin and the butter jar. All right. You don't know shit.
You're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And with these words, he went quietly up the back stairs to the garret where the student lived. He had a candle burning still, and the goblin peeped through the keyhole and saw that he was reading in the torn book, which he had brought out of the shop. But how light the room was! From the book shot forth a ray of light which grew broad and full, like the stem of a tree, from which bright rays spread upward and over the student's head. Each leaf was fresh, and each flower was like a beautiful female head. Female heads. Not female face.
Sure.
Female skull shape.
The whole head.
The whole head. Some with dark and sparkling eyes, and others with eyes that were wonderfully blue and clear. The fruit gleamed like stars, and the room was filled with sounds of beautiful music. The little goblin had never imagined, much less seen or heard of, any sight so glorious as this. He stood still on tiptoe, peeping in, till the light went out in the garret. The student, no doubt, had blown out his candle and gone to bed, but the little goblin remained standing there nevertheless and listening to the music, which still sounded on, soft and beautiful, a sweet cradle song for the student who had lain down to rest.
He's probably happy he bought this book. It sings and, like, plays music and
it's
stuff.
It's a magical book.
Yeah.
Also, it is kind of like 3D porn. I mean, it projects women's heads.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's callback. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. He didn't talk about all the sweet, sweet titties that were hanging out of that tree as well. Some full, full and large, like, cantaloupes.
Sure.
Some small, like, grapes.
Yeah, it's definitely like that scene in Ghostbusters where Dan Aykroyd randomly gets a blowjob from a spirit.
Yeah, that is
it's a very strange and awkward, uncomfortable scene that you watch with your parents, and you're like, all right.
Yeah. No one says anything about it afterwards.
Really wanted.
Yeah, he fought super hard. He's like, I have producer credit. You're putting this in.
I'm sorry, Dan Aykroyd, but no one ever before nor after, definitely not after, no one before was asking for, you know what I'd like to see? A Dan Aykroyd O-face.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. This is a wonderful place, said the goblin. I never expected such a thing. I should like to stay here with a student.
And he's just like talking out loud, and the student's like, can you shut the fuck up, goblin? Every night, he's just like, what a lovely room this is. I love it so much. He's like, it's my room. I have no objects. I own nothing. Can you go away? And he's like, it's such a great room. I love it. I want to stay with you all night, student.
Look, either mend my, like, falling apart little slippers or get the fuck out of here. I never expected such a thing. I should like to stay here with the students, said the little... And the little man thought it over, for he was a sensible little spirit. Apparently goblins are spirits. At last he sighed, but the student has no jam.
Wow, that's the make or break right there. No
make
jam.
Make or break for goblins. Yeah. You don't got jam, they don't got time for you. No. So he went downstairs again into the huckster's shop, and it was a good thing he got back when he did, for the cask had almost worn out the lady's tongue. He just forgot the tongue on top of the cask.
Oh, he left
and the cask. He left the tongue on the cask, and the cask has just been yapping it up. He had given a description of all that he contained on one side and was just about to turn himself over to the other side to describe what was there.
Is he like a record?
He's got newspapers inside of him.
Oh.
He's got a bunch of newspapers. So
wait, I thought a cask was like full of like wine.
Usually so. And so I missed this the first time as well in the read through. But he is, it is said initially, because like casks usually have wine, but then they would have also been like stored with other things.
Okay.
After the wine was gone.
It's like it was a big barrel.
It's like a, you know, it's like a, if there were container stores in medieval times, they would have just had a bunch of old casks in them.
Sure. And if you're a hoarder, you just keep old newspapers in it.
Yes. Why there needed to be old newspapers. Also, it begs the question, the huckster, if there's a bunch of old newspapers he's got in a cask, why is he tearing pages out of poetry books to wrap cheese in when you could just wrap it in newspaper? You get fish and chips in newspapers.
He's an anti-intellectual.
Yeah, he hates books.
We already established he was trying to sell this
sweet
book of poetry.
You're right.
By giving one page for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a little tidbit.
Yeah.
Just anything anybody wants, he like buys it and then wraps something else in it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. When you go to him because you would, you know, you want to buy a sheep, right?
So yeah.
He like, you know, you go to buy, I don't know, like a child's top, you know, like a wooden toy.
Sure.
And he wraps it in a dead goat's leg. And he's like, oh, did you want a whole goat?
They're like,
I have the rest of the goat in the back if you want the whole goat.
Goat sounds good, but this is only enough for one of my 17 family members. I think I need a whole goat.
Yeah, hold on. Let me get the rest of the goat real quick.
He's a good huckster.
What a great huckster.
What a great huckster. All right, so the cask has been just reading all of his newspapers to the rest of the shop. The goblin entered and restored the tongue to the lady. So he is magic. He just put the tongue back in the lady. She's fine. She didn't wake up. But from that time forward, the whole shop, from the cash box down to the pine wood logs, formed their opinions from that of the cask. They all had such great confidence in him and treated him with so much respect that when the huckster read the criticisms on theatricals and art of an evening, they fancied it must all come from the cask.
So the cask has become the new king of the shop, basically.
Yes, as far as
he's
all
become
of,
the new leader of the crew.
As far as all of the now sentient objects in the shop are concerned, because the huckster is reading a newspaper out loud in the shop. The objects in the shop think, oh, it's a newspaper. That must have come from the cask. The cask writes the newspapers.
Oh my God! Wait, the cask knew what people were talking about before the whole tongue thing. So is every item in this shop sentient and just now they are finally being given the time to talk?
Yeah, they're all voiceless, yeah.
But after what he had seen, the goblin could no longer sit and listen quietly to the wisdom and understanding downstairs. So, as soon as the evening light glimmered in the garret, he took courage, for it seemed to him as if the rays of light were strong cables drawing him up and obliging him to go and peep through the keyhole. And while there, a feeling of vastness came over him, such as we experience by the ever-moving sea when the storm breaks forth. We're coming back to H.C. Anderson.
Yeah, no. Like, I'm like in it right now. I'm like remembering every time I've ever been near
the vastness of the sea,
ever-moving sea.
When a storm breaks forth.
Yeah, Hinkley Chinkley.
Yeah,
Anderson here is really laying it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he tells it like it is.
It's true.
We really get it.
And it brought tears into his eyes, the goblin.
This is the goblin.
Mm-hmm. The goblin is...
The tears are definitely like green, maybe purple.
Kind of pussy too. Like
yeah,
little,
it's really
like,
gross. Mm, yeah, they make noise thick when they come out. Ugh. It's yeah. Ugh. Mm-hmm.
He did not himself know why he wept.
Yeah, like he's a man.
What is this?
Why is woman's water coming out of my eyes?
Yeah. Yet a kind of pleasant feeling mingled with his tears. He's liking it. How wonderfully glorious it would be to sit with the student under such a tree.
He loves this student.
He
loves him. And it's so sad that he, like, can't have the courage to be like, look, I love you.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to move in, but it was kind of forward, frankly.
Huh? He asked him while he was sleeping.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't do it to his face.
Yeah, no, he just, he muddled it over out loud in front while the student was sleeping.
Yeah, he was just like, I want to live with you.
Yeah.
While the student's sleeping, yeah.
It is sad. How wonderfully glorious it would be to sit with a student under such a tree. But that was out of the question, and he must be content to look through the keyhole and be thankful for even that.
So, yeah.
It's just...
That's sad.
Fine.
Just creeping.
Just being a perv.
Yeah.
Just
creeping hard. Just
being a peeping, yep. a peeping
perv.
He's just stealing tongues in the night.
Where else do you lay that tongue? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If only he could steal that tongue and put it on his own heart.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And have that speak to the regular student.
Gasp. There he stood on the cold landing with the autumn wind blowing down upon him through the trapdoor. It was very cold, but the little creature did not really feel it until the light in the garret went out and the tones of music died away. Then, however, he shivered and crept downstairs again to his warm corner. So I guess he lives in a corner.
He's got
somewhere.
A corner.
He has a corner where it felt homelike and comfortable. And when Christmas came again and brought the dish of jam and a great lump of butter.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Jam and
Christmas,
butter, baby.
Jam and butter time, raining from the sky.
He's just running through the streets. It's jam and butter day. It's jam and butter day.
Jam and butter day. Jam and butter day. Jam and butter day.
The other peasants are like, we have jam and butter pretty regularly. It's kind of weird that you're.
The huckster's like, shut it.
Shut it.
It's a good shoe. When Christmas came and the butter and jam, he liked the huckster best of all. Soon after, in the middle of the night, the goblin was awoke by a terrible noise and knocking against the window shutters and the house doors, and by the sound of the watchman's horn, for a great fire had broken out, and the whole street appeared full of flames. Was it in their house or a neighbor's? No one could tell, for terror had seized upon all. The huckster's wife was so bewildered that she took her gold earrings out of her ears and put them in her pocket that she might save something at least. The earrings are right here.
They're probably fine. They're fine with that.
As safe as they can get. They're mobile.
Yeah. Unless the fire also contains bandits, I think you're okay.
Yeah. She ripped her gold tooth out while she was at it too. I'll just put this in my pocket. The pocket's the safest spot for stuff. That's where my cake and wine go.
She tore up her silk dress and buried it beneath the earth.
The huckster ran to get his business papers, and the servant, whom heretofore has not been introduced or mentioned at all, servant.
No. Yeah, we have a new. Okay, we should probably expect.
It's pretty close to the end, and the servant does not come up again. This is it. Mm-hmm. He gets one sentence. He gets one line. Not even. The servant resolved to save her black silk mantle.
The servant's a woman, or is the servant saving the woman who talks too much?
I initially read it as the servant was saving her own black silk mantle. And of course, mantle means a little scarf thing.
It's like a hood. Thing. I thought a mantle was like a hood cape thing.
I think it's just something that goes in your head in general, like a mantle.
Okay, I guess we're all thinking of basically the same thing because I think of a mantle as a shawl.
Yeah, but it's got a hood.
It's got a hood.
Like a witch wears.
All right. So a black silk mantle. So in case you're picturing that the servant is trying to drag out the fireplace. She's not doing that. I initially read it as the servant was saving her own black silk mantle, but oh no, because previously it was talking about, it says the wife saves her earrings by putting them in her pocket out of her ears, then the huckster. So the servant is saving her own black silk mantle.
Got it.
And here we go again. This is canon, which where it's going to solve our answers in the next sentence. If I had finished the sentence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which she had managed to buy. So,
got it. You know that, like, HC was, like, friends with someone, and she's like, you write stories. And he's like, yeah, I can put you in a story if you'd like. And she's like, yeah, I really like my black mantle. And he's like, you got it, baby. You got it. You're in the next story. I'm going to throw you in. And
no worries. You could take my word for it. Hippity Crippity Anderson is going to put you in his next story.
And then he's reading it at the pub a year later, and all the townspeople are there. And he says, and the servant resolved to save her black silk mantle. And like, Karen's like, that's me.
Yep. He like winks really hard. Yeah.
She's like, my God. Okay. The goblin had had the same wish. For with one spring, he
wants a mantle.
Mm-hmm. He wants sick cloak. The goblin had the same wish. For with one spring, he was upstairs and in the student's room, whom he found standing by the open window and looking quite calmly at the fire, which was raging at the house.
Whom he started. which he started. Yeah.
He was twiddling his fingers quite calmly.
He was masturbating furiously.
A maniacal smile upon his face.
Exactly.
he had his journal open next to him with a to-do list on it. Start fire. He checked off.
Yeah.
Which was raging at the house of the neighbor opposite. So the house across the street is the one that's on fire. The goblin caught up the wonderful book, which lay on the table, and popped it into his red cap, which he held tightly with both hands. The greatest treasure in the house was saved.
Wow.
And he ran away with it to the roof and seated himself on the chimney. The flames of the burning house opposite illuminated him as he sat, both hands pressed tightly over his lap in which the treasure lay. And then he found out what feelings really reigned in his heart. Finally, his heart had a tongue lay upon
it. It's very strange.
Yeah, again, though, this is still leading to the fact that this is definitely a medieval magical porn
book. Oh, yeah. He's
like, very sweet.
He's got his hands on his lamp.
Yeah. Hey, goblins need love, too. So, yeah.
He's got medieval red caps were the original tube sock.
Yeah.
And yet, when the fire was extinguished and the goblin again began to reflect, he hesitated and said at last, I must divide myself between the two. I cannot quite give up the huckster because of the jam.
This is like Vice. This is like his one Vice.
I really want to know what this jam tastes like.
Oh, such good jam. What is it? Okay. And this last, here we go. This one gives us a moral. And this is a representation of human nature. We are all like the goblin. We all go to visit the huckster because of the jam.
Wait, that's the moral? Because
you know what? I applaud HC for this. The moral's there. We don't even have to talk about it.
It's laid up for us.
Aren't we all like the jam? I'm sorry. Aren't we all
we're all the jam. Some of us are butter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We just long for a disembodied tongue to scrape across us so our true thoughts can enter into the world.
I think we all long for that, don't we?
Yeah.
No, I take it back.
No? All right.
I take it back.
Just me? Okay.
If I woke up in the middle of the night and a disembodied tongue was rasping across me, I would have problems. I would have notes. You know, he found the thing he loved. He realized the thing he loved most was
the jam.
No.
Oh.
It's the book in the moment of fire, he didn't go to steal the jam. When he thought when he didn't know if it was their house that was burning down, he didn't go steal the crock of jam and butter.
Nor did he go to try to save the student.
No.
He didn't know
He wanted the book.
Yeah, he wanted the book. He was like, he wanted this lofty.
It's like a fetish item.
He wanted basically the only playboy in town.
Yeah, he wanted the only playboy in town, which one could also see as, I don't know. Enlightenment in a way, if you want to. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be telling us. I was trying to make a connection between the joke you guys are making and the actual moral that exists, and I failed.
I mean, clearly the book is the media representation of reality and not reality itself. So we all know what that really means. That's what he wanted. Yeah. He just wanted the facade. He was like, the book, not the boy. The book, not the boy.
Why is the boy important at all?
wasn't he in love with the boy? He was like imagining sitting under a tree in the sunlight with him.
No, it's just that the boy had the book that was this magical, created this magical space of enlightenment and poetry and like interesting things.
So he just new ideas. Wanted the book.
Yeah, no, he was looking through. He only wanted to live in the student's room because the student had the book.
It's like when you're really into somebody because they have like a cool car.
Yeah. Or like
you're like, oh, I don't like them. I just like that cool car.
When you're a kid and like they have like a PlayStation 2 and you yeah, don't, you go you're like, we got to go over and play PlayStation 2.
You go to your quote unquote friend's house to play PlayStation, but it's like, it's about the PlayStation. Yeah. Not about them.
Got it.
In my early 20s, it was whoever had weed.
Yeah.
I would date for a little bit too long.
Yeah.
Other morals?
What is the moral?
Well, they sort of told you.
The book or the jam? I mean, honestly, who cares?
Well,
In this life, it's the same.
It's that we all aspire to have lofty goals, but when it comes down to the day or day, like the day to day, we just want some fucking jam. We want some jam in a warm corner, too. Also, to like live in the student's room where the lofty ideas were happening was cold and uncomfortable. And there were nothing else in there. He wanted to be in his warm. You want your creature comforts,
right?
We all think we want the hard things, but to like actually succeed and like go after your dreams, it's fucking hard, and you have to sacrifice things. When I just want to like, I want to watch a jam. I want to watch some TV this
suck
weekend.
Suck on some jam,
yeah, and suck on some jam and butter. All right, final thoughts.
I mean, a final thought would be that this story is way better than anything the Grimm brothers ever wrote.
It's coherence for one.
It's true. It also, like, I feel like there's at least some heart in this story. Like, there's at least a little bit of emotion or feeling in it that is just absent from Grimm Brothers.
Yeah.
They don't know anything about feelings or anything. They're just like, whatever.
But, Hunky Crab Body Anderson also wrote some jokes in here.
Yeah. Like, has a personality.
Yeah.
Grimm Brothers, no personality.
No personality. No. Indiscernible.
Yeah.
Rob?
Final thoughts for me would probably be to be nicer to your inanimate objects around you.
Who knows?
Because apparently...
Yeah.
Who knows what shit they might talk about you someday if somebody licks them.
Yeah, if they ever become sentient, they will remember everything you've ever done to them.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
So, which makes me very glad that the pillows I had as a kid are no longer around.
Yeah, thank God, toilet paper gets flushed down the toilet.
Yeah, you don't want to. You do not want to have a chat with toilet paper.
Don't.
Yeah,
unless it likes it. Although I don't ask the toilet paper if I can use it first.
Yeah. My underwear probably has a lot to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just the same story over and over again, yeah.
Lay off the jam and butter, I guess.
Or find a better hookup for it, frankly. I guess.
Once a year is too little, but you don't need to be constantly thinking about jam and butter. You can go find yourself a cold room to read a book in every once in a while and suffer for some thought expansion. All right. Hope you learned your lesson.
Harry Charles Anderson.
Yeah, Herbert Christina Anderson.
Yes.
Hibby Chippy Anderson.
Yep, all of these.
Herbie Canhock Christensen.
Ham Cobb Anderson. Mm.